Okay, thank you. Hi, Nitzurla Shani Miros, Vasani Midabir Mirma, when Kalalai Napsi Tidom Napsi Kiafar, I call to hear. There's a little background noise, some kind of a hissing. Whoever's phone's doing that, I'd very much appreciate if you could eliminate that for the sake of the chevra here, and to make it easier for me to concentrate too. It's better actually. Thank you. So one of the callers. Asked a question and phrased it in a couple of ways, which makes a tremendous point that I know is very, very relevant to the Guard Your Eyes Chevra, even more than it's relevant to the general recovery public. The question that he asked was twofold. One is, and there were a number of assumptions that the question is based on and that kind of corollaries, you know, that are part of the question itself, part of having such a question, which I, as Hashem, want to try to cover in the next 30 minutes. The question that he asked is twofold. One, hang on. I need to go to the basement. A little more privacy. Okay. One is the. Oh, good morning. Hello. The question that the person asked is twofold. One is this problem of the addiction to pornography and lust, a problem that's unique, pretty much unique to from people, because the world at large, I mean, what problem could they possibly have with this stuff? They're all running around, you know, being goyim, you know? I mean, they're all running around being shiksas and shagitzas. So what problem do they have with this stuff? And is it possible that really, from Jews, to a great extent, are not addicts? They're making themselves addicts because they call themselves addicts only because they're so guilty about doing these bad things. And is that why there are these from addicts? You know, I mean, is that why here we are in Guard Your Eyes, you know, being an addict? Those were the two parts of this person's question, if I'm not mistaken. One part was, are we indeed addicts at all? Maybe we're just from people, and we go crazy about looking at a pretty woman or looking at a pretty man or whatever it is that we're lusting after, because we're from and it's wrong. And therefore, you know, this man asked the question, could it be that we're not addicts and the whole addict thing is kind of silly. Rather, we're just, you know, from people and the guilt makes us think about it all the time and creates a mountain out of a molehill, you know? That was one question that he asked. The other part, the first part of the question that he asked is just in general, like, what's this addiction about? You know, okay. I'm not sure if I'm going to clarify it any more than he did. He asked it much better than I did. I should have written it down while he was saying it. But, I mean, I would love this call not to be recorded. For the sake of, that's a little background noise. I would love for the call not to be recorded for the sake of people on the call to be able to say, but this, but that, but what about the other thing while I'm asking the question and explaining it, you know, rephrasing the question and while I'm saying the answer, to be able to interrupt me and say, but Dov, what you said here is not true. And what you said there is true, but I disagree with the implication because of reason X. And that way, the topic that I'm going to try to explain is going to actually have useful meaning to you. The fact that it's going to be more like a lecture and that it's recorded, so people are terrified to say anything, which I don't blame you at all, it makes it a one-sided thing, and it kind of sterilizes everything I'm going to say in terms of its utility. But I'll do the best that I can with Hashem's help, and I do believe in God, and I do believe that he's going to make what happens be the best right now. But getting to a response, okay? My response is based on a number of assumptions that I make, okay? One assumption that I make is that you're right. Lusting is a human act. There's still some background noise every now and then. There's some kind of like, I don't know what it is, noise, like every few seconds there's like some kind of a noise. But anyhow, I'm just trying to make it work better for everybody, that's all. The problem here is multifaceted, okay? Yes, you're right. There are many people who consider it an addiction and they're not addicts at all. Not everybody. I never said everybody's not an addict. But most people who come on Guard Your Eyes are probably not addicts, which I've always said, which I believe with all my heart, because I mean, you know, I have many, many things to prove it. But, I mean, I've met many of these people, and after discussion, they admitted that they're not addicts, you know. But I've met many of the people on Guard Your Eyes who were telling the tip of the iceberg of their problems on Guard Your Eyes because they weren't even admitting some of them to themselves, not only, you know, let alone admitting it, you know, on the website, which is supposed to be the safest place in the world to admit the truth because you're using a fake name. So why hold anything back? They still held, many people were holding, who I met, were holding back tremendous amount of detail and tremendous amount of stuff. I think we all do that. You can't put the truth down of your life on, you know, in a post. You know what I'm saying? You can't describe the truth about your behavior in a post. That's just impossible. It takes a lot more than that. But it's a start. But so most of the people who come, not all, but most of the people who come on Guard Your Eyes are here because they're religious people who want to be better people. They know that they're doing things that are not right, and they want to be better people, okay? And that's what's going on. That's why they're here. Are they addicts? No, they're not addicts. If they would be Goyim, would they be here? No, they would probably not be here, unless they were religious Goyim. They would probably not be here. So yes, there are many people for whom it's 100% true. The only reason they're here is because the Torah asers, you know, sex, lust, it's rather prudish, you know, and therefore we, you know, the guilt, you know, drives them, oh, I have a terrible problem. And they end up coming to Guard Your Eyes, seeing the word addiction. And maybe they say to themselves, some people I'm sure say to themselves, oh, addict, that gives me an excuse. I don't have to feel so guilty now, you know. And does that give them license to act out as much as they want? No, they don't. They're good people. But they feel so good when they hear the term addict. It's like I'm not being blamed for it so much. You know what I mean? And it helps them, like, relax. But that's not what being an addict is about. You know, feeling better because I'm powerless, you know, because I'm out of control or something like that, you know. But that's not the point of accepting the title addiction. The point of accepting the title of addiction to most addicts, I think, is that now I have full responsibility of taking care of my disease, as opposed to an excuse of like it makes me feel better and, you know, less guilty or something, you know. So that's a misuse of the addiction thing. The question is, what do you do after? That's the Shiloh. What do you do after you accept the title addict? You know, do you work harder on it because you've got a disease that's progressive and chronic and extremely dangerous? Or do you kind of, you know, keep posting under the name of, you know, chicken squat 613 and therefore do nothing basically for your problem? I would have continued posting under the name chicken squat 613 because I was terrified for the first 15 years of my acting out history, maybe more. Terrified. I would never have opened up my name to anybody that I could think of unless I met someone who really opened up the truth about themselves to me and I felt really safe. You know what I'm saying? And only then, even, I would have only done it on the phone, probably. You know, it's just, the whole thing is just terrifying. So I understand that problem very, very well. It's just that understanding, yes.
But I have a quick on this, especially for myself, question. Isn't shame and guilt the best way to, you know, become compulsive in addiction? Having shame and doing the act relieves the shame, and then having shame because you did the act, and then doing the act over again. Isn't that the recipe for an addict? You know, having more shame and guilt than the average fella? I mean, that's the way I feel about my addiction.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to get to that. Yeah, I'm going to get to that, Chaver. A big part of the problem is that a person on one side, a person on one side wants to be a good guy, you know, a person or a good lady, you know, a good Jewish woman, a good Jewish man. That's why most people are on guard your eyes, because they're Jewish. They want to be a good Jew, and therefore they want to stop doing this terrible thing, and yet they haven't succeeded in completely stopping, because, you know, if you do a sin, sexual sin, even one time in the next 10 years, that proves, according to them, that you couldn't stop. You know, you couldn't do Tshuva Gemura, the holy grail of everyone of us who has this problem, is to never, ever, ever do it again. I know, you know, there are some people who come on with a more relaxed attitude, and they say, you know, let me try to minimize it as much as possible. But there are so many who say, you know, in their hearts that I'm never going to do it again. I can't ever do it again. And if you do it again, then you know what? That's an addict. Oh, because, you know, look up addiction. That you keep trying to stop and you don't stop. So you see, I didn't stop. Stop defines live the rest of my 89, 95 years without ever doing it again. That's how you define stop, I guess. So therefore, if I ever do it again, that proves that I can't stop. And that proves that I'm an addict, according to that logic. And I've seen that logic be used dozens and dozens of times on the website by people. And it just makes me want to cry. You're not an addict. That's called, you're a Jew who sinned, and there's a thing called tshuva. Tshuva, on the other hand, does not work for an addict. And the reason is because an addict's problem isn't to sin. The addict's problem is that he or she's crazy. But let's get back to that in a minute. Somebody just brought up, doesn't guilt create the problem itself? And that's part of what this guy's question was before the call. Yes, of course. The fact that we're in a frum community, and there are a number of factors that cause frum people to be particularly at risk for developing a sex addiction. One is that there are many people who explain that the only thing preventing Mashiach from coming is Zera Levatala, for example. So the guilt is tremendous, you know. Well, you know, it's mamish like saying to somebody, you know, especially when we're younger and when we're teenagers, you know, adolescents, and, you know, we're a little extra self-absorbed, you know, It's like saying, you didn't do anything really. You just destroyed the world. You know, you just stopped the Mashiach from coming. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh boy, look at, you just ruined the world, you know? So, that's a very, very heavy load for someone to bear. Even if it's true, the question isn't whether it's true or not. The question is, does it lead to, does it work for you? Does it bring you to Yerushalayim, or does it not bring you to Yerushalayim? Does it bring you to success at being a good Jew and keeping the Torah and mitzvahs, or does it not? Does it put you into more guilt and confusion and become fastidious and hyper, careful about everything, so that now the only thing you think about is the problem, you know, or does it help you actually succeed? Usually it doesn't. Usually it just causes a person to get worse and worse, not help them. The Pasuk says that Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem means that you know what wise is? Wise is that you're successful at getting Yiras Shemayim, that you succeed at keeping the mitzvahs. You don't call a person who gets worse and worse and worse and worse, but is so afraid of punishments from Hashem or whatever, you don't call that he's a bigger Yirei Shemayim now, because he's getting worse and worse and worse, and he's more and more and more afraid of, you know, of God, of the punishments from God, or whatever, whatever it is, afraid of the sin, or afraid of even Yiras Aromamus, whatever it is, that he has more and more Yiras Aromamus because he sins more and more and more. That's not called the Yirei Shemayim. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem means that you think Chochma is how smart you are, how close you are at figuring out the truth about whatever it is. No, that's not really, what Chochma is all about. Chochma is all about what actually works. So the Chochma isn't figuring out some nekuda that, you delayed Mashiach, and that's the whole point. The Chachma is rather, what does Hashem really want from me right now, you know? And yet people get tied up in guilt, and therefore they sin more. A person who thinks about Tikkun HaBris all day long is thinking about their penis all day long. He's thinking about sex all day long. That's 100% guaranteed, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows that that's true. If you're thinking about Tikkun HaBris, Bris HaMaor, Tikkun HaBris, Shmir Seinayim, Tikkun HaBris, if that's what you're focused on all day long, then you are thinking about sex and lust all day long and naked women. That's what you're thinking about. Now, does that mean that the Gedolim who think about Tikkun HaBris surely do think about Tikkun HaBris, you know, and it's in their minds through the day that they're thinking about sex all day? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you're a sexaholic or something like a sexaholic, if you're a Jew, a Yid, or anybody who has this problem and keeps having this problem over and over and over, and you think that by focusing on Tikkun HaBris and going to the mikveh frequently and going crazy about avoiding any kind of a shemetz of this and that and anything, if it works for you, great, then you're on a very high madrega, and I think that that's beautiful. It's beautiful. And you should share it. Share it with other people, because it's a beautiful midah. But if it's not working for you, then all that effort of Tikkun HaBris, Tikkun HaBris, Tikkun HaBris is just an excuse to think about your bris, which is, all day long. That's what you want to be focused on. That's what the Kotzker was referring to when he says a person who wrestles with a muddy guy to get him away just gets covered with mud anyway. That's the problem with wrestling with this stuff. The more you wrestle with it, the dirtier you get. So, in other words, a frum person is definitely at a higher risk than a non-frum person of making a big stink out of small things that are bad, but they're small, and creating those bad things, creating out of those bad things something that's much, much worse.
than was necessary. That's obvious. The other issue is that, I mean, look, I have to tell you, when I go to Sexaholics Anonymous meetings all around the world, I just want to tell you, when I go to the meetings that are mostly goyim, probably, you know, there's a certain percentage of people there who have used prostitutes and stuff, but to a great degree, I believe, in my experience so far, the majority of the goyim there, of the shegetses there, the majority of them, their problem is pornography and masturbation, sex with themselves. And the majority of them, their only problem is pornography and masturbation. When I go to frum meetings in Hasidic neighborhoods or in yeshivish neighborhoods where they're almost exclusively frum people, my experience has been that the majority of the guys, not all, chas v'sholom, but the majority of the guys, their problem includes prostitution, okay? The goyim have less often, in my experience so far, the goyim who come to SA and possibly other 12-step groups in person out of tremendous pain for their problems, most of them, a greater percentage of them, seem that their only problem is pornography and masturbation. But a greater percentage of the Frumi Yidden, I mean really Frumi Yidden, I mean Magidei Shir and Kolel Younger Light and good businessmen, guys who are Balabatim who learn or Tamei Chachamim who work, etc., or Tamei Chachamim who don't work or whatever it is, there's a higher percentage in my experience so far that actually end up going to prostitution and deeper stuff than among the goyim, who many of them do the prostitution too, but it's not as often that I see that the goyim are as bad as the from Eden. So this sort of touches on an issue that a lot of from guys have. They say, if I were a goy, I wouldn't have this problem at all. Not the pshat that I wouldn't be coming to recovery. I wouldn't have even turned out that I would be interested in recovery, because this is what they do all day long. Goyim have sex with anybody they want to all day long, every day. That's all they do. They're all preacher-stick, disgusting people, and they do this stuff. And why should they feel guilty about it? This is what they're supposed to do. It's not true. It's just not true. It's in my belief, and based on my experience so far, it's probably that belief, that view, is based on a sincere superiority belief that as long as I'm superior, then I'm okay. And a goy, you know, he's a goy. What does he have to give me? What can he teach me? These are the guys who have the hardest time in the world getting clean themselves because of things like, how can I learn from alcoholics, from goyim? How can I learn from Sexaholics Anonymous? It's a program started by goyim. You know, there were Jews who were also co-founders, but, you know, but it's not a frum organization. You know, I'll go to a rav. Do they go to a rav? Do they go to a rav? Do they tell a rav? They tell a rav, I have problems with Shemir Sinayim, and sometimes I come al yidei zera levatala, you know, lidei zera levatala. They're not explaining the truth. And those who do explain the truth, the rav doesn't know what to say. The rav doesn't have the answer. The rav can't share with the guy his own masturbation problems, because if the rav did that, he would lose his job. You know, and besides, it's private, and I don't blame him for not sharing that. And I'm not saying rabbanim all over the place masturbate. I'm not saying that. So, you know, don't make me a Jew hater, because I'm not. I'm just saying that rabbanim from the pulpit can't explain their failures. They can't lead with their weakness. Rabbanim and from Jews in general, on the outside world, to the outside world, we have to be banner carriers. We have to show the way. We have our failings. We work on it. We admit we have failings. We don't say what they are publicly, chas v'shalom. We admit what they are to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And we work on them. We're not Bali guy ever walking around that we're perfect. In a way, we are. But if we say, well, the goyim, of course they do this stuff. This is natural, and they don't care, you know? That all comes from the superiority thing, and it's not true. There are so many non-Jewish members in Sexaholics Anonymous who their entire problem is pornography and masturbation. Their problem, just like you, you know, their problem was never prostitution. Unlike many Hasidic guys and many Kolo Jungerlite, many Yeshivish guys, many from Jews, their problem comes in the end, near the end at least, to prostitution as well, just as much or more than sometimes their goyim counterparts, lahavdil. When I'm talking to a frum guy about this topic and trying to crack the superiority thing so that the person can start to be themselves and admit the truth to themselves, I just can't bring myself to say lahavdil. Because the whole lahavdil thing is an excuse. I've met so many frum guys who, like me, would ask somebody before they acted out with them if they're Jewish, because they didn't want to act out with a Jewish woman, a Jewish person. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hello? What's going on here? You know, this is the problem that Rabbi Twersky talks about, that there's a meeting in the basement of a church, okay? So there are poskim that talk about it, you know, and obviously, you know, whatever, there are many who say that it's okay. I don't know the ones that say that it's not, but usually the ones that say that it's not, I would imagine, have never had a child overdose, or God forbid, lo aleinu, or don't have a sexaholic family member themselves that they know of. They probably do, but they don't know of them. And therefore they don't quite understand the issue, or nobody's described to them what sexaholism really is. They just don't know. They get asked to Shaila about Zera Levatola, and they don't understand that the guy's problem isn't Zera Levatola. The guy's problem is that he's got a running affair for the past 6 months with a certain porn star that he keeps watching her doing a specific sex act in the video with over and over, and it's driving him. It's not constant, chas v'shalom, because he goes to kolo, or he goes to business, he has a family, you know, but he makes unaccountable time for himself by being late here, by being late there, by quote-unquote having problems, his GPS doesn't work, and this. And he's late, and this, and that's what I do in my acting out. I haven't, thank God, had to act out for 19 years. But you know, as of today I'm sober, thank God. You know what I'm saying? So I haven't had to act out, thank God, for a while because of people like you who come to recovery. That's why, because of people were there in my meeting, you know, that I came to, who shared their, and since there were people there interested in recovery, there were people there who were sober, you know, and clean for years. So I learned that it's possible and what life is like without this stuff. So, but anyway, getting back to the thing. So are frum people in general more susceptible to this problem? Obviously. Look around in recovery. You know, if you go to a this year, the Sexaholics Anonymous International Convention is in Yerushalayim, you know. So far, I know two keynote speakers at Sexaholics Anonymous conventions with, you know, lots of people there of all walks of life who were frum guys, you know, so who are frum guys, you know, and sober for many years. And so the frum group is the fastest growing group by far of any, you know, segment of society, of any group in Sexaholics Anonymous, and probably in SLAA and SAA and the other SCA, the other, you know, sexaholic recovery groups, you know, lust recovery groups. So, I mean, why is that? Why is it that in the frum areas, you know, in cities that have frum areas, the meetings have tons of frum people in them, you know, even though we're a small percentage of the population? Why is that? So, yes, part of the reason that frum people are going to be attracted to, let's say, Guard Your Eyes, which is not a 12-step, you know, group of any kind. It's, you know, like I've said before, it's, you know, it's not. It's just an educational and referral website where people get education. Education and information is not going to get you clean if you're an addict. That's obvious. But fellowship will, friendship will, connecting with other addicts will, you know, who are sober will, you know. But why are there so many people attracted to guard your eyes? A lot of them are not addicts at all. A lot of them, for sure, are only on guard your eyes because they're from Eden. And if they and the reason that they and that has two parts to it. Part one is that the only reason that they care at all is because they're from Eden, and if they wouldn't be from Eden, they wouldn't care about a little lust here, a little sex with themselves over here, that's masturbation, you know. They wouldn't really care that much about having, you know, failed in small ways here and there. They're not addicts. They're just people with the Yetzer Hara and sexual organs, and it's a rough combination. It is. And hormones, you know, inside them. And, you know, and the Gemara says, look what trouble it is. You know, Ever Katn Yesh Ba'adam, you know, Mar Ivo Sava must be a Ra'ev, you know. So the more you engage, the more you convince your wife, sometimes unfortunately with the Rav's help, that your wife has to give you more and more and more sex, or vice versa, that the husband, if the wife is the one who's the sexaholic, comes to the Rav and adds, and this misguided but well-meaning Rav tells them, you know, you got to have more, please each other more and more and more and more, like I was told by a very, very Ehrlich and beautiful, wonderful Hasidic Rav, who told me this advice, which caused my wife to burst into tears when I told her. I mean, the poor woman just burst into tears. I mean, she knew that she was no competition for the porn stars, as, of course, we all know. There's no competition. It's done. There's no way she can please me. It's just more abuse of the wife or the husband in that case. Of the other way around, you know, it's just, that's just abuse, you know, willing abuse, you know, suffering abuse. So yeah, and it's not going to work. It just makes the problem worse. So there are a lot of from Yidden who, they're not addicts. They're just selfish pigs, like, you know, like I am, like most people are at times. We're selfish hazards in this. And it's a problem, you know, in our midos, really, Yetzirah, etc. And they do tachbulas that don't work, like focusing on Shmiras Einayim all day long, which is like, don't think about pink lions all day long. You're just going to think about pink lions a hell heck of a lot more than I will, who never thinks about pink lions. You know, I've never thought about them until this very moment, actually. And I don't think I'm going to think about them in 10 minutes from now either, because I don't try to not think about them. And the fact that it's such a big deal, and it's such a big deal in Kedusha, the worst thing that a guy can do, who doesn't have this problem as an addiction for sure, the worst thing that he or she can do is open up a sefer that discusses how much ad kedei kach to be careful, careful, careful. Because mimunafshach, if they really want it, and they're not going to be satisfied without getting it, then running farther and farther away is going to just make a bigger, bigger hole in them. And if they give in to it, they're just going to want it more. You're between a rock and a hard place. It's not going to work. And all the advice of stay away, doesn't help. So the guy goes to a Rav, and because it just puts it on his mind even more. It's a big problem. He goes to a Rav and he asks a question. The typical Bachar goes to the Rav and asks a question. He says, I got better for a little while. Just like the typical guy who comes on Guard Your Eyes. He gets better for a little while. He doesn't make the Wall of Honor for such a long time. He doesn't get to the magic 90 days that supposedly changes you, the Ish Acher Lagamri, etc., whatever. He doesn't reach those points quite. Or he talks to this Rav and for a few months it's going well and then it starts to fall apart because the Rav speaks to him in the Beis Medrash with just... After 6 weeks or so, he stops, like, having these conferences with him because, he's getting better, so, you know. So he just has, like, and also the Rav has 16 other guys that he's talking to about the same thing. And each guy thinks that he's the only one, of course. And he talks to the Rebbe a little shorter after a few months, weeks goes by or whatever. By 6 months, it's just like a friendly, loving smile and a nod in the morning. How's it going? Good. Good. It's good. Baruch Hashem, Rebbe. It's much better. It's not. He fell back in. Or he's going to fall back in. And then he's not going to tell his Rebbe again because the honesty doesn't stay. The relationship doesn't stay because the understanding isn't there. And the Bachur knows that the understanding isn't there. Because in Frumkeit, in the Jewish world, in our life, which is Avodas Hashem, the expectation is that you're going to be good. There's no room at the top for people who are failures. You know, there's no room at the top for people who are failures. You can't lead with your weakness in Frumkeit. It's antithetical to success, to the image of success. So Rabbanim can't, Rebbes and Rabbanim can't do what really is necessary, which is opening up to these Bachurim and explaining their own failures and helping the Bachur work through his fears and open up and tell the truth about himself instead of, I have Shmir Sinayim and Zera Levatala problems, you know. An affair with a woman is not Zera Levatala problem. And an affair with a porn image lady is also not a Zera Levatala problem. And it's not a Shmir Sinayim, that's an affair. It's not a Shmir Sinayim problem. Shmir Sinayim is almost like, you know, the Kutzker was once asked, I have problem with Machshava Zaris. The Kutzker said to the guy, why do you call them Machshava Zaris? Machshava Zaris means like strange. Zar is like a Nochri. It's like outside. Zar, it's not normal. It doesn't belong here. And it's you know, the implication is that it's strange and unusual. It doesn't belong here. It's Zar, you know, like the word Muzar also. It's, you know, it's the same Shoresh. But it's strange. Why do you call it like an outside thought if that's all you think about most of the time is this? Your Kavan and Shmon Esrei is the Machshava Zara, isn't it? And I presume the guy said, yeah, what was this Kutzker's point? To rip the guy's kishkas out? You know, to slap him in the face? No. The Kutzker's point is saying, if you don't get honest with yourself about what's really going on with you, how are you going to get better? The Machshava Zara is the Kavana in Shmona Esrei. The normal Machshava is Arayin in the Veld. You know, this isn't a put down to that person. Once the person admits that, then the person will be able to do what's necessary to get free of his problem. So now what happens in the firm world because of this stuff? Yes, the guilt about small stuff makes many people, unfortunately, hit it with a giant hammer and go crazy about it, which puts this problem on their mind more and more and more. And the result is that they become sicker and sicker instead of better and better. Goyim won't have that problem unless they're very religious Goyim. They usually won't have that problem because there's much less of a big deal put on this thing. But that's their only advantage. That's their only advantage, and that's a small advantage. It's a real advantage, but it's a small advantage because the problem is still a problem. The question is, how do you, what perspective should you have on it? What do you do about it? So when the question for recovery is, when does it make my life unmanageable? How is this making my life unmanageable? If it's not making my life unmanageable at all, then I'm not an addict, you know? The first step says that clearly. We admitted we're powerless over alcohol, meaning we can't drink alcohol like a normal person can drink and enjoy alcohol and then move on. We can't do that. We drink alcohol, and it screws us up. And they can stop, and you know, we keep going, and they make a little deal out of it, and they move on. We make a big deal out of it and struggle with it forever because of Yetzirah and here and there, and it becomes my giant project that eclipses everything else in my Avodas Hashem. How many of us, look at my post, if you don't mind, I'm not advertising myself because I'm not benefiting from this, but look at my post called The Nuclear Reset Button. The Nuclear Reset Button is all about the fact that there are so many people for whom this struggle with porn and zera levatala and whatever else you want to call it, lust, becomes their raison d'etre for being a firm person. This becomes their big struggle in life. Well, yeah, the sefer says you're supposed to, the tzaddikim say, well, the area in life that you find the biggest struggle is your tachlis. Now the guy's doomed. Now it's like, it's my tachlis now, you're telling me. being a father, that's not my tachlis. That's important. But putting on tefillin right, that's important. Being a known kol Torah kula, that's part of my mitzvah. That's important. But being about tzedakah, being here, being an onav, being this, being that, but this kedusha inyan, this I see is my tachlis, because I have the biggest struggle. That's an excuse for the guy to think about nothing else and make giant mountains out of something that's not a molehill, maybe, but it needs to be dealt with in a different way than making a giant struggle with it and becoming his only real access point to closeness with God. A person who many of us find that the only thing that gets us that feeling of being really religious, really spiritual, really close to the Rabbeinu Shlalom, is the only time we get that feeling, many of us feel, is when we're doing tshuva over masturbation, when it came out, and it's like, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, I didn't think it would go this far. I can't believe I went this far. Gewalt. Oi, oi, oi. And we go to the mikveh sincerely, and we cry, and we do tshuva. And then by lechadodi, we're mamish. That Friday night, we're jumping, maybe not outside, but inside, and we're so close to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Even though I did this before, thank you, you took me back. I love you, thank you. And then, so in other words, masturbation becomes, lust and masturbation struggle becomes the only way that we really feel the ultimate ecstasy, the true, deep feeling of closeness to the Rabbeinu Shlom. There's nothing else that gives that to us. So we're doomed to have to repeat it. And we can't stop, really. We say, we give lip service to, Avada, that's only a Hechatim Sefer, but the real connection to Hashem is through Torah, through this, through that. It doesn't work, though, for us, for many people, because they train themselves to focus on the spiritual struggle. Hashem loves the struggle, even if you don't succeed. The struggle. And they condemn themselves. They doom themselves. We doom ourselves to, failure. This is a problem. This is a big problem. And this obviously is part of why Frum Jews gravitate to sexaholics, 12 steps problems and stuff more than any other group. And I'm not just talking about Guard Your Eyes. Many people come to Guard Your Eyes, like I tried to clarify. Many people come to Guard Your Eyes who are not addicts. And their problem did not and will not come to the point of an addiction, It won't elevate itself to that point. Their entire problem is just that they're in this mortal battle with this thing and making a bigger deal out of it that hasn't brought itself to addiction yet, to real sickness yet, But it hasn't made their lives unmanageable. But they pretend that their lives are unmanageable because of this tremendous guilt over having sinned so terribly. So they pretend that it's, an addiction, that it's terrible, it's horrible, it's making my life unmanageable. Gewalt, the Malach's going to burst my eyes in the kever, and then there's going to be babies screaming, Tati, Tati, in the kever when I'm being brought to Gewalt, and I can't stand it. And now I feel like my life is unmanageable, or I'm going so far away from the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom matters so much to me. Gewalt. The fact that I'm doing an Avera without all the punishments, the fact that I'm doing an Avera and I'm vait from a tata, that I can't stand it, my life is unmanageable. If that really made you feel like your life is unmanageable, then would you be doing these bad things in the first place? No, you wouldn't. Obviously, the naked lady with the beautiful body doing the sex act and the pornography is beautiful and precious to you, and you're just not admitting it to yourself. You're calling it the Yetzirah. It's an outside force that's making me do these things. And it's bringing me away from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's why I do it. I don't love it. I hate it. Aside from the fact that you're a liar, which is not good. The Rabbanu Shalom doesn't really like lying, you know, doesn't help with the relationship there. But besides that, the guy's never, or the gal is never going to see that he or she, they're going to stay in this fantasy that all I really want is closeness to Hashem, you know. And they don't understand that, no, I have a power greater than myself, a higher power, and it's naked people doing sex acts. That's something that I'm drawn to, you know. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do about it. It's, you know, and it's not the Yetzer Hara. I can't blame it on God. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's not me, Chas V'Shulam. It's the Yetzer Hara. No, it's me. It's me. This is what I want. What do you mean? Look how much I cry afterward. No, look how much you're Moser Nefesh for it before. Look how much you hide. Look how much money you spent on it. Look how much you lie in order to preserve your access to it. People think the only reason I'm lying is because if my wife finds out, if people find out, it's going to be the end of my this, that, and that. No, no, no. If people find out, yeah, of course, you'll suffer in many other ways. But the biggest fear of them all is that if I'm honest with anyone close to me about the truth about what I'm doing, then I'm not going to have the access to it anymore. Let me try to do, like, you know, congressional self-oversight. Look at what happened to the priests. The church wants to have self-oversight. Look what happened to them, you know? You know, who knows what else is happening in the firm world? I don't know. But in the Rahman Latzalan, but in the priesthood, I mean, it's look what happened. You know, self oversight. Yeah, you know, doesn't work. You know, so yeah. On one hand, we have this problem. Many of us have this problem, meaning a true addiction, because we made ourselves crazy for years.